You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, episode 30. We are at the halfway point of our summer series. This week, it's Buffalo, New York Islanders, Anaheim, Chicago, and we ask Russ Cohen to come back on our show and talk Philadelphia Flyers. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwanbeck here. Welcome to episode 30 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter at @DPR_show. I am once again with my co-host, Peter Harling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com. Peter, how's it going?
Going pretty good, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm just dying for some hockey. We're struggling here. It is officially the quiet time of year.
Yes.
It's disappointing.
It is. It is, but hockey's coming, man. Early September, all the prospect tournaments, September 8th, I believe it is, they all start up. I talked about it a little bit in my Ramblings column yesterday. You got the rookie tournament in Toronto, Traverse City, and in Michigan's got one, Penticton, BC. Between four or five tournaments, is about four or five teams per tournament. Pretty much covers almost all of the teams in the NHL. I'm not sure which teams aren't represented, but they're really good tournaments. They're really important for trying to determine which prospects and rookies are going to make the team, so I would really recommend trying to watch as many as you can. I know that last year the Vancouver and I think Calgary broadcast their games on their Facebook pages. Detroit website will be streaming on their webpage all of the games from Traverse City. So there's opportunities to do a little preseason scouting and figure out who you think's got the goods and is looking like the best player on their team. Of course, follow Dauber Prospects as our writers will be in tune with it as well.
Yeah, and I think Arizona also posted that they were going to be streaming games. But what am I talking about? Aren't there a bunch of CHL teams already in training camp? They've already begun training camp. I'm pretty sure the Q for sure has had multiple training camp days already. So yeah, we're starting to get full-fledged back into hockey. That quiet time is gone.
That's right. The CHL tournament games will be hard to find them online or anywhere. You have to go and watch those live. I know that Kingston's only got their ice partially, and I was talking to the rink maintenance guy today and with the Frontenacs, but yeah, they're starting soon, and those are usually open to the public. You don't even need to buy a ticket. You can just usually just walk into the rink and watch their scrimmage games. But let's get in with the episode. Let's start talking about some prospects. We're going to start in the East today, and I think I'm interested to get your thoughts on some Buffalo Sabres players. Of course, the biggest prospect that they own has got to be Alex Nylander. He played a little bit in the NHL last year, looked good in the World Juniors. What's the outlook for him going into the season?
I think he's a long shot to make the team this year. I think he's going to have another full AHL year. He's still young. He already has an AHL year under his belt, and he's only 20 years old, or maybe not even turning 20 yet. I think he's a long shot, but he's highly owned, so I don't want to spend too much time on him because he's 91% owned in Fantrax. That's wild to even think of, that a long shot like that's 91% owned. That's just how many keeper dynasty leagues there are on Fantrax, and that's what they're known for, is being deep keeper dynasty leagues. If you have any of those, you should be playing on Fantrax. If you're not playing on Fantrax, you should be switching over to Fantrax, because 91% owned Nylander, who isn't likely going to be on the team, is just outstanding. It's astounding. It puzzles me.
I wonder if that percent, that'll probably drop a little bit once the seasonal pools start, because the one and done year leagues aren't existing yet. So his 91% ownership would be only for dynasty leagues, I would think, at this point. That's still high.
But yeah,
it's a testament to his upside and where he's projected to be once he makes it.
Yeah, I think the next interesting group of prospects, and it's a group because these guys have been following each other, jumping over each other in the depth chart, and you might as well just say all three names together: Justin Bailey, Nicholas Baptiste, and Hudson Fashing. Hudson Fashing's kind of been a late bloomer to the party because he was an NCAA prospect, but grouping these three together just makes sense. But there's not enough room for this group of three, so they could be in the NHL. Not all three are going to make it. There's probably maybe two spots, maybe only one spot in a scoring line role. The right winger depth in Buffalo is Okposo, Reinhart, Pominville. These guys can play on the right wing. Maybe they move to the left wing, but the depth there is Kane, Molson, Pouliot. So it's going to be a tough roster to crack, and these guys might end up playing on fourth line. So I don't know if we should own any of them. Bailey, 37%, Baptiste, 39%, and Fasching, 40%. So even their percentages in that group. Who would I want most likely out of those three? I think Fasching. I would go with Fasching, but that changes on a daily basis. I used to cover the Buffalo Sabres for DauberProspects.com before I took over Vegas, and these three guys, they flip-flopped probably every single month in my top 10. I couldn't figure out which one was the best one. Do you have an opinion on this, Peter?
I'm kind of the same ilk as you are here. I think it's a bit of a coin toss with either one, but I'd probably go Fasching, Bailey, Baptiste. I'm just looking at our page rankings right now, and Max Marco's got it: Bailey, Baptiste, and Fasching, with Cliff Pooh in the middle there as well. Yeah, I think they're middling prospects, and I don't think any of them has a tremendously high upside, but they all have a pretty good likelihood of getting really good looks at the NHL. So if you own any of these guys, I'd hold on to them for sure. They're
Yeah.
ownable. They're ownable assets, or at least watch list worthy, depending on the depth of your league. I guess we need a little bit more time to see who's the best player, and see how the cream will rise to the top, as it always does.
Yeah, and they have a new coach there, Phil Housley. So who knows how he feels about these three? Like, I think it's going to be who catches the eye of Phil, and that might be tough to do because Bailey's played the most. He's played 40 games in the NHL over the past 2 seasons. Baptiste has only got 14 in last year, and Fasching's got 17 in the past 2 years. So, and they're not putting up big time numbers yet, and I think that's why none of them are really jumping over top of each other, because they're all just kind of not making strides when they get their chance. So if one of these guys takes a stride forward and shows what he's got and shows an offensive side and maybe moves Molson or Pouliot down or maybe Pominville down to a fourth line and they get some third line minutes and maybe power play two unit being a net front presence of some sort, maybe. But yeah, these guys are definitely on a watch list of I don't know what one is going to come out on top, and I kind of got my eggs in on a Hudson Fasching basket. And yeah, I think it would go Fasching, Bailey, Baptiste for my three in that ranking.
I think it's certainly feasible that you'd be able to knock Matt Molson out of a roster position. I mean, he's a goal scorer and he doesn't score goals anymore. So what's he doing on your roster, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the money is a big one. He's making a ton of money for what he does, and I think that's going to be tough to swallow if you're Buffalo Sabres to move him out of an offensive role, but you kind of have to. It's Matt Molson.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the blue line. They signed a free agent, and I'm really interested in him because I think he's got opportunity and upside. What's your take on Victor Antipin?
I really like this kid. I'm glad he landed in the Buffalo Sabres organization, and I think you're right. He definitely has the opportunity to become probably a top power play line guy with Rasmus Ristolainen on his left or right side, depending on where they line up on the power play. 47% owned. He's got a great first pass. It's very deceiving how quickly he comes around the net and just fires a puck through the neutral zone, and the guy's two or three strides ahead of the defensemen who are trying to turn around. I'm really hopeful that the Sabres give him a chance to be on the power play and help run the power play with Rasmus Ristolainen. I know Ristolainen's been there a couple more years and has shown that he can do it, but I think Antepin is going to be a good help there. He doesn't have a booming shot, so I don't think if they want a booming shot on the back end, they're not going to use him, and they'll put him on the second unit. But if they need a guy that can move a puck, it's Victor Antepin is very capable of that.
Yeah, you might have difficulty cracking the power play unit. Ristolainen's a lock for number one, and they'll probably go four forwards and a D, and then he'll have to compete with Nathan Beaulieu, Zach Bogosian, Jake McCabe. But he is an offensive defenseman, so that's what you want when you're on your power play. What about in the pipes, in the crease? Looks like the Sabres are going to have to roll with Robin Lehner again. They added Chad Johnson. Do they have anyone who's willing to press the roster spot there, or when Robin Lehner gets hurt, someone that can take the reins?
Well, I would have said Cal Peterson in this spot because he was looking pretty decent in the Buffalo Sabres organization, but he didn't feel that way and he decided to take off to the Kings. So step up Linus Ullmark. I'm pretty sure he's going to get some playing time this year. I have no trust in Leonard either to stay healthy or to be a capable top goaltender. Yeah, they signed Chad Johnson, so that might hurt Ullmark immediately, but in the long run, I think Linus Ullmark, 60% owned, think he's going to get a shot to play this year.
All right. Is there any other players on Buffalo that we want to keep an eye on?
No, I think those are the guys that are going to be fantasy relevant. Maybe throw out a quick Evan Rodriguez, but he's going to be a fourth line utility guy that is in and out of the lineup and not a big peripheral guy. But if he gets matched up with, say, Jack Eichel like he did in Boston U, he's got some chemistry there, but I can't see it happening. That was the big talking point when they signed him out of Boston U, that if he ever got on Eichel's wing, but I don't think that's going to happen. He's many steps below Eichel, and I don't think he's ever going to have the opportunity to do that. So, yeah, Evan Rodriguez might be a guy, but I'm staying away from him.
All right, let's move on to another team in the East. The New York Islanders is the team that I did some research for. Now, I was pretty excited at first to take on the Islanders and looking at their team. They've got some really good young players like Josh Hosang and Matt Barzal, Anthony Beauvillier that I was going to talk about. But doing some research on Fantrax, I see that they're all like over 80% owned already. So I'm not really doing anyone any favors by talking about these guys. Everyone either already owns them or knows all about them. They're pretty heavily scouted and documented. So I skip over those guys, and then I look at the rest of the forward ranks and depth, and there isn't really anything there that jumped out at me as fantasy relevant, even in the deeper leagues that we talk about. But there is some value on defense and some opportunity on the blue line as well. So I'll just kind of focus all on defense. And the first guy you got to hit on is Adam Pellich, or sorry, Ryan Pulock. And even though he's 84% owned, I still wanted to hit on him. He didn't really play in the NHL last year. I think he played about one or two games. He's got 16 career games under his belt so far with a total of 4 points. So not exactly amazing. He's a 2013 draft, so he's already, got several years of pro under his belt. 15th pick overall in the first round. This is the year that he's going to break into the NHL, though. Opportunity is there. The competition is not very fierce, and it's now or never. And he had a great year last year in the AHL. The Dobber Prospect Guide has him projected for 27 points, and I see him playing second power play unit and top four with the Islanders this year. So if you're one of those people that has been sitting with Ryan Pulock on your prospect bench for years and years and years, and you're just about ready to pull the plug on him, whatever you do, don't. This is the year he breaks out. If he's available on your waiver list or free agent list, you might want to look into to adding him. I think he's going to have a really good opportunity.
Do you think Ryan Pulock, if they go with three forwards, two defensemen on the power play, do you think he can slot in beside Nick Leddy, or is that Johnny Boychuk's spot because of the booming shot?
Yeah, I think he can. I mean, he's an offensive defenseman, right? So you wanna put him in a position where he's got a an opportunity to succeed, and boost his confidence and whatnot. So yes, I believe he certainly has an opportunity to play on at least the second power play unit, and to start the season, and maybe by season's end, depending on how well he performs there. He's got a pretty good shot too, so there's certainly an opportunity for him to leapfrog Boychuk on the power play.
Yeah, that'll be something that we'll have to watch in training camp and preseason, where what the Flyers or what the Islanders do with their power play, if they do a four man forward unit with 1D, or if they go the traditional 3-2.
Yep. Okay, so the next defenseman on my list, and I kind of slipped his name out, Adam Palach. So this is a player that I've kind of been a fan of for a while, since his days in the OHL. I was really impressed with how he played with the Erie Otters. He's only 34% Fantrax owned. In his last season in the OHL, he played 60 games. He had 54 points. He was a plus 52 player. What I like about him is, while he's a little bit undersized, he's a good skater. He's a good two-way defenseman. He provides offense. He's good defensively. He plays a bit of a gritty game. He's a physical player, so he's going to get you some peripheral stats. He had more than a cup of coffee in the NHL last year. He played half the season, exactly 44 games. He scored 3 goals and had 7 assists for 10 points, so that's not, outstanding, but he was not getting a whole lot of minutes. He managed 40 shots on goal, so 3 goals and 40 shots isn't also very impressive, but he can do better, and I think both of those numbers will go up. He did manage to produce 74 hits and 68 blocks in the 44 games that he played. So as I mentioned, he's got good peripheral value, and his point production in junior indicates to me that he's got offensive upside as well. I think his role with the team is going to slightly increase this year. Perhaps not so much that he's going to be a top four defenseman, but he's a certainty to play the full season in the NHL this year, not just the 44 games. I think he's earned his spot. The Dauber Prospect Guide projects him for 20 points this season, so that's doubling his point total from last year. But as I said, he only played half the season, so if he plays the whole season, that's a pretty realistic production. 20 points plus good peripherals is really good value in multi-cat leagues for a defenseman. And he's also a pretty affordable player in cap leagues as well. So Adam Palach, 34%, there's a guy you want to look into.
Yeah, I definitely have picked him up in one of my dynasty leagues that I did have the option of Pulock and Pelech, and I actually went Pelech. I'm a little more excited for Pelech, and the peripheral stats is kind of what put it over the top. But I like defensemen that can pick up blocks and maybe have some more shots, and yeah, I think Pelech. I'm on the Pelech side of the Pelech Pulock battle.
Yeah, he's no Radko Gudas, don't get me wrong.
No,
but he is a well balanced player.
Yes, I agree with that. Two other guys that you got on your list. You said you had 4, so we got through 2. What are the next 2?
Yeah. Okay. So the next guy is Devin Toews, no relation to Jonathan Toews. So he's a player who's come from the AHL. NCAA. Last year was his first year in the AHL, and he was named to the AHL's all-rookie team, and he had the most points as a defenseman by a rookie last year. He played 76 games and had 45 points. So he's a prospect that's trending up really, really hard and really fast for the New York Islanders. It looks like he's going to have a bright future. He's not going to make the NHL this year, not more than a cup of coffee and a call-up and whatnot. He's only 25% Fantrax owned, so I think that ownership number should increase. He's not far removed from the NHL because he's coming from college hockey, so he's not a 19-year-old. He's a player that I think has upside. It's mostly offensive stats that you're looking for, not like Adam Pelech. He's not going to get you a lot of the peripheral stats. He's a transition and offense defenseman, but that's the way the game's going these days. So there should be a role for him in the NHL in the future after a little bit more seasoning in the AHL. The last guy is Sebastian Aho, the other Sebastian Aho. So this guy, his name is spelled exactly the same as the Carolina Hurricanes prospect, but he's a Swedish defenseman. He's been passed over in the draft two times now, and the Islanders finally drafted him this summer in Chicago, late in the fifth round. And he's only 21% Fantrax owned so far, so there's still a wide variety of options for you to pick him up. I guess a lot of leagues haven't done their prospect draft yet. So he's undersized too, 5'10", 176 pounds. But I like in your later rounds, you know, your first and second round, you should take guys that are pretty reliable, have good upside. You might have to wait a little bit. And then you get into the later rounds of the draft, you start rolling the dice a little bit. And I like going with older guys because you don't have to wait so long to find out if they're going to make it or be a bust. And Sebastian Aho is already 21 years old. He's going to play in the AHL this year. He's coming over to North America. He signed his ELC deal. So, you know, Islanders are happy with him. As I said, he's a young, an offensive, speedy transition type defenseman. So he's going to get you some points. He'll be available for call-up this season because he'll be playing in the AHL with Bridgeport. I don't expect to get a look at him in the NHL this year unless he exceeds expectations, which is a possibility. But I think he's a player that's got some sneaky good value. You could get him later in your draft, and he could be on your roster, you know, sooner than 5 years later, as if you're picking, you know, fourth round NHL draft guys that are just 18, have two more years of junior left, and the defensemen are a little bit slower to develop. So then you add another year or two onto the AHL. You know, you're looking at 4 or 5 years before those guys can jump into your roster. But Sebastian Aho, good to go next year.
Excellent. So you gave us two NHL-ready, viable guys and two guys that are on the brink of the NHL. And if you get a chance to get Beauvillier, Barzal, or Hosang, by all means, take it. Just because we didn't talk about them, those three guys are guys that are pretty much must-own, and that's why their ownership in Fantrax is so high. So if you can get your hands on Beauvillier, Barzal, or Hosang, then yeah, in all likelihood, you're going to be pretty happy. All right, when we come back from the break, we're going to break down the Anaheim Ducks and the Chicago Blackhawks prospects and who's ready and who's on the brink. All right, it's time for the Western Conference. We're going to talk about the Ducks and the Blackhawks. Peter, where do you want to start, the Ducks or the Blackhawks?
Let's go Hawks.
All right, let's start it right up with Hawks. Who's your first guy that you want to talk about?
All right, so our Hawks writer was not available to do his August 31 and 31 posts, so I took over for him and wrote it up. So I got a pretty good handle on who some of their rising prospects are. And number one at the top of my list, well, first of all, I'm not going to talk about Alex DeBrincat because his ownership is really high, and we've talked to him about ad nauseum, and pretty much every episode we talk about Alex DeBrincat. So I'm taking Alex DeBrincat off this episode.
Perfect.
So my first prospect is John Hayden. He's 57% owned. He's coming out of NCAA. He was the captain of Yale, played his 4 years, signed his ELC, had a 12-game audition at the end of last season with the Hawks and had 4 points. In those 12, like 4 points is okay in 12 games, but he had 44 hits, and he played an average of 11 minutes and 40 seconds of ice time per game. So pretty limited role, scored a beauty goal against the Leafs. That one goal was highlight reel. He's got multiple positional eligibility. He's coming from NCAA as a center, but he's listed on Fantrax as left or right wing. So you've got multiple positional options here. He's a player I think is going to be cemented in their bottom six in the future going forward. He's got offensive upside. So he's a player that I think if you have a multi-point, or a multi-cat league, and it's a deep keeper, he's a player that you want to go after hard.
All right, awesome. Is there anybody else on the front end that you would like to mention?
Yeah, I think Tanner Kuro has an opportunity to do some damage this year. I think the loss of Marcus Kruger on the fourth line really opens the door wide for Tanner Kuro to sink his teeth into that position. He's 38% owned. The Dauber Prospect Guide forecasts him for 29 points. He had 16 points in 47 games last year. He put up decent peripherals, 41 hits, 51 blocks, 209 faceoff wins. He's a little bit average sized, I guess, by NHL standards these days. He's only 6 foot, 180 some pounds. But he's a player, I think, has a cheap cap hit, so that gives him a good shelf life with the Hawks. Marginal upside, but good peripherals. Playing on Chicago is always a good thing for your fantasy value too. So that's two forwards that I think will play this year on a regular basis. Another one who I think is only 8% owned, and he's turning pro this year, so he's got to pay some time in the AHL before he's ready to break the Hawks roster, is Matthew Highmore. We spoke of him a little bit before in the past, I think, as well. He's a unsigned free agent coming out of St. John Sea Dogs, played all the way to the Memorial Cup last year. He had 64 games, 55, 89 points with the Sea Dogs. 13 of his 34 goals came on the power play. He's a player I think is going to also have bottom six opportunity for the Hawks in the future, and he's a real rambunctious player. He'll throw some hits. He's very good in his own zone, so I don't think he'll have a hard time transitioning to pro, and I don't think the coaches will hesitate to play him in a variety of situations. So I think he's got some value, and at 8% Fantrax owned, there's a lot of opportunity there. But
All
that's
right,
it for the.
awesome. So you got a guy that's most likely to make it, a guy that's pretty near close to making it, and a guy that's on the brink. All right, that pretty much covers the forward guys that are available. You had to bring it. We're not even gonna bring up his name again because yeah, he's way too highly owned, and he's DeBrincat. Oh, I said it. Sorry, Peter. Next guy that I really want to hear your opinion on. I just picked him up in the DPFHL. I put a grade the trade out on my Twitter feed at Zwambag, Zwambag. Check it out. Let me know what you think. Gustav Forsling, a defenseman for the Blackhawks. What's your opinion on this guy?
All right, so I think the Hawks had a lot of turnover this summer, and it's a recurring theme with the Hawks and their salary cap situation. But Brian Campbell retired. They lost Scott Darling. Nicholas Harmelson is gone. Johnny Oduya is gone. So they lost a lot of players off their back end. So they got to look to the young players because they didn't really add anybody to replace any of those minutes on the back end. Connor Murphy, I suppose he'll be top four. So him, Keith, and Seabrook, those are three of your top four, and then it's wide open after that. So I think Gustav Forsling has a really good opportunity to lock in that top four position and get some power play time. He's an offensive defenseman, 52% owned on Fantrax. So there should be an opportunity for a lot of leagues for you to pick him up. He's 21 years old. He's paid his dues in the AHL. He's looked really good there. He's got decent size at 6 foot 186. So he is 1A of my defensive prospects who I think can play top six with the Hawks this year. The other one is Jan Ruta. He's a Czech signed free agent. He's 24% Fantrax owned. He's coming over from the Czech. He's 6'3", 200. He's got good size. He scored 32 points in 46 games there last year. The Dauber Guide projects him for 16 points. So nothing terribly exciting, but I think, it's hard to project how guys do coming over from Europe. They can be, kind of flame out like Roman Chechmanek, or they can be great like Artemi Panarin. So who knows how Jani Ruta is going to do, but he's a player I think you certainly want to consider. He's got a top six upside.
All right, excellent. And then one more guy that you just want to mention, throw out there for the listeners to keep an eye on.
Okay, so Luke Snuggerud, great name. He's only 16% owned. He's coming out of the NCAA, University of Nebraska, Omaha. He's a second-team All-Star. He had a career year of 31 points in 39 games last year. He's an offensive defenseman. He's signed his pro contract, and he's going to be playing in the AHL in this coming season. Decent size, 6 foot, 184. So he's a player, I think, is he's a prospect that's trending up hard for the Hawks. You're going to want to put him on your prospect bench or your watch list.
All right, perfect. And let's move on to the Anaheim Ducks. I ended up taking the Anaheim Ducks to look over and made some key notes. First guy, just want to throw out 88% owned Nick Ritchie. He's too highly owned to kind of bring up. He's going to be on the team. He's basically already on the team. I don't even know if you can call him a prospect because he's I don't think he's at all not going to make the team, so just get it right out of the way. Nick Ritchie, if you can pick him up, 1 year leagues, you should be drafting him near the end of your 1 year leagues, redraft leagues. Let's move on to Andre Cash. Case? Cash? I go to you, Peter, with all these pronunciations. Is it Case or Cash?
I think it's Cash.
Cash? All right. I'm pretty sure this guy's going to have a full-time spot on the third line this year. He has 15 points in 53 games. He could see a jump from to 25 to 30 points this year with a full 82-game slate. And he's remarkably the big thing that I always look for in these prospects, dual eligible, left wing, right wing, 40% owned. I want a piece of Andre Cash.
All right, here's a prospect I'm really interested in. Sam Steele. He's a prolific offensive scorer in junior. What's the outlook for Sam Steele?
I put him down here. He's 84% owned, so he's that highly owned, but I think he's a long shot to make the NHL. I think he's going to get the 9-game treatment this year. He's going to go back to Regina to compete for the Memorial Cup because the Regina Pats are hosting the Memorial Cup, so that guarantees a spot in the tournament. He probably will be the team captain of Regina this year. The previous captain, Adam Brooks, Toronto prospect, is headed to the AHL, so he was an assistant last year, so I think he's going to go back to Regina and play a big time role in a Memorial Cup hosting team. But I think he's going to get the 9-game treatment, and if he knocks the socks off Anaheim Ducks management, then by all means he could stay for the long run. But that 9 games is going to be very critical for him. If he puts up numbers like he does put up numbers in the WHL, which would surprise me a bit in that 9-game treatment, but I think he will for sure get 9 games and then be sent back. But it's something worth watching.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he'll start the season in the AHL and maybe get a taste at preseason for sure. Maybe a little bit of regular season games. If he's really good, he could stick past that. But I wouldn't count on him being in the NHL past the World Juniors. So let's talk about another player who's more likely a roster eligible player, Nick Kurdelis.
Yeah, he played 1 game last year, but he's definitely going to get a bigger cup of coffee. He's going to be battling with Dennis Rasmussen, who they picked up from the Chicago Blackhawks. He's 8% owned and dual eligible center left wing, and also battling Logan Shaw, who's dual eligible, 7% owned, center right wing eligible. I think Rasmussen has the edge between the three of these guys for a fourth line left wing spot, and I think that's only because Rasmussen played with the Blackhawks the previous 2 years. He's got 9 points and 8 points. But I think Nick Kurdiles has a chance at supplanting him just because Rasmussen came from a different organization. Nick Kurdiles has been with the Ducks for a couple of years, so I think Kurdiles might have the advantage there with management and coaching staff. So be on the lookout for Nick Kurdiles, 32% owned.
Okay, and he'll have some competition from Cale Caulfield as well.
Yeah, he in his rookie year in the AHL, 14 games, 34 or 14 goals, 34 assists, 48 points in 65 games. He played one NHL game last year, only one shot on goal, and only 6 minutes of ice time. So not much to say with that 1 game. But yeah, Cale Caulfield is, yeah, you could definitely throw him in with the Rasmussen, Shaw, Kurdiles battle. He's 23% owned.
All right, interesting. So a bit of a head-scratcher move for me was the Ducks re-signed Francois Beauchemin and added him to their defensive, already rich defensive depth. I was really looking forward to a couple of prospects making an impact this year, specifically Brandon Montour. How does the Francois Beauchemin signing affect his fantasy value?
I don't want it to affect him. I think it's going to a little bit, but I think Francois Beauchemin is going to be that guy that's in and out of the lineup, kind of like Mark Streit last year when he ended up moving to the Penguins. I think the Ducks have too deep of a defensive core that Beauchemin might not be an everyday defenseman for the Anaheim Ducks, and Brandon Montour is going to try his best in training camp and preseason to show that no, I'm much better than Francois Beauchemin, and I'm pretty sure he is much better than Francois Beauchemin. It's just he's got to prove that because he's unproven, and Francois Beauchemin's a wily vet. So I really hope Montour keeps his power play 2 minutes that he's going to be given at the very beginning, and I don't think the Beauchemin signing is going to affect Montour as much as it's going to affect Jacob Larson. Montour is 86% owned in Fantrax. Jacob Larson's only 57% owned. These guys, I thought, all my notes before Francois Beauchemin got signed was training camp battle, training camp battle, training camp battle. These two are going to battle it out for a final spot. Now that Shea Theodore is leaving to Vegas, these are the two guys that are going to be the young guys trying to make a name for themselves. I also want to bring up Hampus Lindholm injury, shoulder surgery over the summer. He might miss the start of the season. It's something to keep an eye on. And if the Francois Beauchemin signing is a reason for that, or maybe they are concerned about their injuries on the Ducks back end, that Beauchemin's going to be that extra man. But Larson is probably going to be the first man called and probably deserves a spot in the NHL this year.
Interesting point on the Lindholm injury. I haven't thought about that. I also wonder if the Beauchemin acquisition could be a precursor to another move that they might want to make: trade a defenseman and bolster their forward depth. There's lots of teams that would be lining up with their hands out, willing to take a defenseman like Josh Manson if he became available, or Cam Fowler, or Hampus Lindholm.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Anyone else on the Ducks, or should we move on?
No, I think we should move on, and let's get Russ Cohen on the line.
All right. So we're going to take a pause, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some Philadelphia Flyers prospects with Hockey Prospect Radio and Sportsology prospect guru Russ Cohen. Segment three of the show. We are pleased to be joined again by Russ Cohen from Sportsology and Hockey Prospect Radio. Hey, Russ, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you on again.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks, Paul. Hey, where's Mary? Ha! Sorry.
Did you do that joke last time?
No.
We have had somebody. I can't think of who it was, but there was a Peter, Paul, and Mary joke before.
So it had to be. But it wasn't me.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about, we're doing the summer series. We're talking prospects. Let's do the Philadelphia Flyers, if you don't mind. We've got a whole bunch of really good young prospects on that team, and yep. In my opinion, I think there's some some openings on the roster this season for some guys to break through. So let's start up front, and right out of the gate, we'll go with the big gun, Nolan Patrick. I was on another podcast last week, and I was talking about him and where I think he projects. I put him as they'll probably ease him into the roster, I think, in a third or fourth line, probably as a center. I don't think he's got much opportunity to start ahead of Giroux, Couturier. Do you think that's a reasonable estimation as to where he starts, and do you think how it plays out for him throughout the season?
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable estimation, the third line. Is it possible because Dave Haxtell is just so rigid with defensive play and face-offs that if he doesn't look great at that, he puts him on the wing for a little while, maybe with Couturier? It wouldn't shock me. But I do expect him to be like a third-line center to start if he makes it. I mean, I think, you know, it's probably 75% he makes it, but we have to remember he didn't play a full season last year. You have to sort of look at it and let him go through camp, let him go through preseason. They sent Provorov back, so it's not, you know, crazy to think that they might send him back too.
Yeah, I mentioned that on the podcast I was on too. I mean, if he gets an injury and whatnot, and as the season progresses, the game tightens up quite a bit, and it gets harder for rookies, and they have a tendency to see their ice time reduced. And, you know, if he's missing time because he's injured and then serving popcorn in the press box occasionally, I wouldn't rule it out of the possibility that maybe they loan him for the World Juniors and maybe he ends up maybe not playing the whole season in CHL, but he might end up back there at some point, depending on how his start goes and how his health is.
Yeah, I think there's a possibility of that. But again, more likely than not, he'll start with the big club. I would like to see him go with someone like Wayne Simmonds, but we'll see if the Flyers do that, because he would be the great compliment. Because right now, until he gets a little stronger, Patrick, you know, that corner work, the things that he's been really good at the other level, I don't know if he'll be quite there at the NHL level right off the bat. So if you had someone like Simmonds to do that dirty work for you, he probably could score a bit more. And I kind of think he might, if he does make the team, he'll sort of assume that Braden Schenn role on the power play and play in the middle there. And I think he'd be real good there because he's got better hands than Schenn, but similar in the sense that he could really do a lot with the puck once it gets to him. And of course he's big, and you put him down low like that and he's pretty deadly.
Well, that'd be a great spot for fantasy wise. It'd be a great late round pick to pick up Nolan Patrick, and you get power play time. That'd be a pretty savvy move.
Yeah. And I think there's a chance that'll happen. I mean, a good chance. Again, though, you know, for your fantasy players, I don't expect the Flyers to be a playoff team. Like, everything would have to hit perfect for them to make it. And remember, the last time they made it on the last day of the season. They're still building towards something bigger, but, you know, you can't count them out. You never know in this league.
All right, moving on to Oscar Lindblom. Do you think he's going to make the team and be a contributor?
Yeah, I think he's a lock. In camp this summer, he looks even stronger. He's already 6'2". He really is a good skater. I mean, he's a very good stop and start kind of skater. He's very precise. I think that's going to really play well. He has a really good shot. He's very confident. I think he's got the confidence to carry himself through the whole season. I think playing against men helped. I think his season last year was tremendous. And so, yeah, he looks like he can really do well for them. And he's terrific defensively, so Haxtell will love him for that.
So do you think third line guy, or is he going to crack the top six?
Well, it really does depend on how they're going to break things up, but most likely third line guy.
Okay, a couple other wingers who aren't exactly rookies and are a bit of a stretch to call them prospects even, but I'd be interested to get your take on these youngsters, Jordan Wheel and Travis Konechny. I think there's a top six role here for one of those guys, or Lindblom, or two of the three maybe. How would you categorize those three in terms of their offensive upside?
I mean, I definitely would put Konecny in the top six. He looked really good last year. He did. He looked comfortable. He actually improved the power play, so I think he'll get power play time, a lot of it. His shot was great. His overall feistiness was tremendous. And his strength has gotten really good in the last 2 years. I saw him at the couple summers ago when the NHLPA has their rookie photo premiere when they shoot their trading cards. And the way he and Barzal were going at it in the corners, I kind of knew he was starting to feel it strength-wise at that point. So now, you know, after another good summer, he's going to be really primed to do that. And you know, he could walk away with 60 points and it wouldn't shock me.
Wow, that's pretty good upside. Right, another opportunity that's knocking for the Flyers is on defense. They lost Delzato and they have a bunch of rookies who are knocking on the door to break into the NHL. I'm talking Sanheim, Samuel Morin, Philippe Myers, and maybe even Robert Hägg. There's probably some other guys that I'm missing too, but those are guys at the top of the list. I think there's at least one roster spot up for grabs, and as the season carries on and there'll be injuries and whatnot and, and all kinds of factors, so some of those guys will get to rotate. But of those three, who would you say gets the lion's share of the minutes this season?
I think Robert Hägg might have the easiest time fitting in because he had a really good year. His skating has improved a lot. I don't know if he'll get any power play time, but if there were injuries, you certainly could throw him in there on the second power play, and he's good walking the line and good doing those things. His hiccups where he would have some turnovers seem to be gone, and his decision-making is very good. He keeps it really simple now, and that's really helped him. Now, Travis Sanheim definitely could make the team, but I don't think you want to put him in a bottom pairing situation. And I don't think there'll be a top four spot for him to start. So I think there's a good chance he'll start down below with Lehigh so he could be the number one guy, get all the power play, get all everything, all the penalty kill, all of that. And then if there were an injury in the top four, I think they wouldn't even hesitate to throw him in there. And then as far as Sam Morin goes, I think he is that guy that will go up and down. Like, you know, hey, we have an injury, we need a little toughness. Let's bring up Sam and let him beat some guys up and try and play some good defense. And his skating's improved. He's still a very good straight line skater. That's where his speed lies. His turns are better. They're not perfect, but they're better. He can play both sides now, which a couple of years ago he couldn't. So that's a big plus for him. The strength is there. I think the hockey sense has gotten a lot better. And I think he can intimidate. I think guys are going to be afraid to go in the corners with him, or at least not afraid, but hesitant. You know, you get pounded by Sam Morin a few times, you're going to know. So I think he'll play with the Flyers this year. I just don't think he'll make them out of camp.
Okay, and of those three,
Philippe Myers, I wouldn't have him start with the Flyers, and I'll tell you why. Since the hip injury surgery, I think he still needs a little work now on his backward skating. He didn't need it pre-surgery, but I noticed he just wasn't as fast as I'd like to see him in camp this summer. Now, maybe it's just because he just got back out on the ice and just, you know, literally just got off the shelf. So we'll see what happens when he comes into camp. Everything else is there. Like, he's, you know, good passer, great offense, knows how to jump into play. He knows how to do all that. But there still could be some, not rehabbing, but sort of like getting his play back, getting that speed back time for him. So maybe he doesn't start with the big club.
Yeah, and he's only 20 as well. He's just turning pro, so he's got some pro adjustment time to do. These other prospects are all—they have a little bit more experience under their belt. Yeah. But looking on a keeper scale, on a larger picture, how would you rank those four in terms of their long-term upside value?
Well, long-term upside value, Sanheim is the highest. And as long as the Flyers don't trade him, which they've been hesitant to do, he's definitely the highest. Next highest, you probably go with Hogg because there is some fair up. Well, it's tough. I mean, Hogg and Myers, right now they're pretty close. I have a feeling you probably want to go Myers too, because I have a feeling the Flyers are more predisposed to use him on the power play than even Hogg now. So go him two, Hogg three, Morin four. You know, and I didn't answer. I evaded you for some reason about Wheel. And I like Wheel a lot. He really came on strong second half last year. He got more playing time. As he got more playing time because the coach trusted him a little more, he looked a lot better. He looked more like the Kings prospect that I liked when Hextall was there. So Wheel's definitely a bottom six guy, but he's definitely a guy that can kick in like 30 points, maybe even a little more, depending if he were to get some second power play time, because he is pretty good on it when he gets there. So, but again, with Hextall, that power play time is not going to probably be bountiful for him, if at all. But I do like him.
All right, and now let's move to Philadelphia's probably worst nightmare the past 3, 4, 5 years, their goaltending. They can't seem to find a great goaltender.
Decades.
Oh, come on. It's not decades. I mean, they had ups and downs. I mean, as far as producing one, then that's fair. If you're going to say producing one, that's a whole different thing. Then, you know, how old's Brian Boucher? You know, like, so, you know.
But they have a couple good ones in their pipeline, the Carter Hart. Yes. And Anthony Stolarz. Is he going to have to wait 2 years now that they've signed Brian Elliott and Michael Neuwirth? They just signed both of them March and in July. Is he going to have to wait another 2 years to crack this lineup?
If he cracks it at all. I just have this sneaky suspicion that he's not going to have a long-term career with the Flyers. He might get it with somebody else. But it just seemed like when they had chances to use him last year, Dave Hextall was hesitant. Doesn't mean, you know, down the road, if Dave Hextall were not to be a Flyers coach, that the next guy likes him. I think Stolarz have a little bit of a tough go of it right now, though. And actually, Alex Lyon may be neck and neck with him as far as, like, if you had to bring somebody up.
Interesting. So if Stolarz was to be traded, do you think he is close to being NHL ready if he does move elsewhere?
Yeah, I do. I think he's close to being NHL ready. I don't know. The hardest thing to tell, and I'm pretty good with goalies, but we're all guessing with goalies a lot. The hardest thing to tell is if a guy's number one. I mean, I can go back to Ben Bishop and tell you that I thought he was a 1A. He has shown that for a few seasons there, he definitely could be a one. And so maybe I was wrong on that. I thought Al Montoya would be a number one, and I was wrong about that. You know, then you're right with guys like Carey Price and Marc-Andre Fleury, but I think a lot of people would be right about that. John Gibson, you know, so it's hard. I probably have a 500 or less record in figuring this out, but I have to see more out of Stolarz to see if he could be a number one at the NHL level. He certainly won as a pro in the AHL, but I don't know about the NHL yet.
All right. Are there any prospects that are potentially maybe a year away or could be sleeper picks this year that for the Flyers that you think we've missed?
That's a good question. You know, I think Morgan Frost, if he were to have a really big year, it's possible that he could slip in there into camp next year and just do what Konechny did and really impress them and make the squad. I don't want to put any pressure on him, but the speed and the playmaking is so good that if he just puts up a lot of points, plays good defense, doesn't have a lot of turnovers, I could see there being a willingness to put him in there because he definitely makes players around him better. He is a really good playmaker. Like, that's his strength. He's got great vision. And so it's possible. I do think there's a chance Mark Friedman at some point on defense could get in there. He, you know, he played in the USHL the same time as Provorov. I kind of did a scouting report, my version of one, because I'm not a scout. But when I first saw him and Provorov playing in a tournament in New Jersey, and he impressed me then, and he's impressed me this summer again. So The skating is terrific. The puck moving is excellent. I think his skating is already pro level. He's not the biggest guy at 5'11", but he's got a pro body at around 185. So I think there's a chance, you know, at some point he could, you know, based on injury, based on opportunity, you know, if somebody's injured down below and then somebody's injured up top and they think he's a better fit for a short term, you know, I could see it happening at some point for him.
Nice. And Isaac Radcliffe, he's still a few years away, but I like him. Yes. I think he's got some upside, but
he does.
He's on your watch list for now, unless you're in a real deep dynasty keeper league. Russ, when are you guys going back on the air with Hockey Prospect Radio?
We are going September 21st. We're going to it's that weekend. That's our tape day. So because we don't go on the show live. So what is that, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? So the 23rd.
Nice.
So not that far away. I got to put up with Shane Malloy again for another season. But, you know, I'll manage.
What's the topic for your first episode?
Don't know. We haven't even had a meeting on it yet.
Well, there you go. Well, whatever it is, it'll be golden. I can't wait to get listening to you guys again. And
appreciate it.
You can find you guys on TSN Radio Network on all their stations syndicated across there. And, of course, live on Sirius XM. If any of our listeners aren't listening to your show, they're missing out on the best prospect show there is. So really appreciate you coming on our show, man, and sharing your insights on Philadelphia Flyers prospects with us. We'll have to get you on for the hat trick.
Yeah, anytime. I feel like Ann B. Davis, you know, she always got shown as like special guest star. She was on the series for how many years, but she never had like that definite role. I feel like that guy, so that's good.
There you go. And I was making jokes that you're the first repeat member. Yes. On the show, but we had an interview at the draft, so this is the hat trick.
This is the hat trick, technically. You know, at the draft, it was just sort of like two dudes talking, so I didn't know what you were going to do with that audio. I was a little worried about it, but it turned out to be good.
Well, of course it was good. It was you and me. All right. Thanks again, Russ. And
all right.
See you, Paul. See you in the ring, buddy.
Yeah, talk to you later, right. Russ. Thank you, Russ Cohen, for joining us for another great interview, this time focusing on one specific team, the Philadelphia Flyers. You can follow Russ on Twitter at Sportsology. We will have it on our show notes at DauberProspects.com. We also want to thank you, the listener, for tuning in throughout the summer. Hockey is pretty quiet this time of year, but we are trying to keep it going throughout the summer months with the summer series. Please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at DPR_show. You can also follow us on Twitter, our personal accounts, at Zwambag, ZWAMBAG, and at PHarling, PHARLING. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.